welcome to the Earn Your Happy podcast. I'm Lori Harder, founder of The Bliss Project, three-time fitness world champion, fitness expert, and cover model turned self-love junkie, lifestyle entrepreneur, and author. Each week, I'll bring you a guest or a thought that will help you bust through your fears, connect to your soul, and get focused and clear so you can elevate your life, business, and relationships. We don't wait until we're ready for someone to tell us we're good enough. We take what we want and we anoint ourselves. Get ready to earn, own, and unapologetically rock your happiness every single day. Are you with me? Here we go. Welcome back to the Earn Your Happy podcast, and I am so excited to introduce you to Elizabeth D'Alto. She is known for her raw, honest, and grounded approach to self-help and spirituality, and she is the founder of Wild Soul Movement and author of Untame Yourself, host of the popular Untame the Wild Soul Woman podcast. She's been a teacher, a leader, a speaker, a coach, and a trainer to groups and individuals for 13 years, and she also consults organizations ranging from startups to large corporations such as Dove UK. So you guys, I loved our juicy conversation and I can't wait for you to listen in. So here we go. Elizabeth, I'm so excited to have you on the show today.
Thank you.
So I loved our, you know, we've been able to kind of catch up and chat a little bit before this, and I absolutely love what you're about, and I was on your site, and it is a little bit like a vortex, like you're hearing from other people, because I think it really, really speaks to women. It's like I'm discovering parts of myself on your site that maybe have been buried for a while, or parts that I really want to tap into. So for people who aren't familiar with you yet, I would love for you to tell us what you do, what you love to do, and also maybe a time where you didn't know that this was your purpose and your calling.
Well, first of all, I love to hear that, because back when I was creating the actual site and I had started the creative process towards the end of 2013, that was something I said. I was like, I want women to land on this site and go, this is the thing I didn't know I needed. Mm. So that thing that you just said about like waking up the parts of myself is also in like such alignment with part of the mission, which is everything I create at Untame Yourself is about this one sentence: everything you've ever needed has always been inside of you. Mm. We're so conditioned and like marketed to and programmed in our culture to be seeking outside of ourselves for the answers, to feel better, you know, for all these things that we think, when I get that or when this happens, I'll feel better or I'll be happy or I'll be successful or whatever. And we forget, we gradually forget from the time we're little kids, like how magnificent like we are and always have been. Right. So sometimes people say, well, why don't you just say everything you need is inside of you? And I'm like, because I really want to emphasize that it's always been there. There's never been a moment in your life when you haven't been totally capable, totally worthy, like so magnificent. We just forget. We straight up forget. And so really what I love to do is remind women. And so there's a couple things I remind them. I love to remind them to get out of their head and into their body. And I love to remind them that like you are a woman and that there's like so much ripe, incredible power to like be magnetic, to inspire. And we're untrained in that. Again, our culture really trains us in the masculine arts to do, to achieve, to accomplish, to compete, to rank, right? Like these are the things we learn in school, to be right, right? Stuff your emotions, be strong, be tough, like all those things, which are great things. But it's just out of balance when we forget all the amazing, juicy feminine parts. So I just love to remind people, and I love that you use the word like wake up, or I think is what you said, because it's what it is. It's just like, oh, snap. It's like, I just forgot. I forgot for a minute or for many years. And so for me, to answer the other part of your question, I just forgot. I was in like this kind of asleep, forgetting place for a really long time where I thought that I really had to like just hustle harder, just keep going, keep going, keep going, keep pushing and force, right? I thought that my work ethic was the best thing going for me. Mm. And in a lot of ways, it's amazing, but you will only get so far on your work ethic. until you burn out. Like, you probably have this too. So many women, so my background is fitness. I used to be a personal trainer. Before that, I was in sales and stuff. And again, it was just about like the hustle, the doing, the pushing, the forcing. And at a certain point, I just started to notice with my fitness clients that inevitably any like mental, emotional, or spiritual thing could wipe out the physical results with such swiftness. It was like astounding. So that is what sparked me to get really, really interested on the inner work. So instead of just working out, to focus on working in and then creating and kind of manifesting life from the inside out rather than the outside in. Does that make sense?
Totally. So did you have a point where you were like, oh my gosh, I cannot live this way anymore. Like, this is absolutely not working for me. Or did you have a lot of those points?
I think I had a lot of those, a lot of little points like that build up over time. But the big one came August 2013. I had moved from lifelong East Coaster. I'm from New York. I lived up and down the East Coast my whole life until January 2013. And I moved out to Laguna Beach, California with the guy I was dating at the time. And I only knew him and his family in the town. And Laguna Beach is small. It's so beautiful if anyone's ever been there, but like quite boring. To move from downtown Manhattan, where like everything's at your fingertips, to this little sleepy beach town where everything closes at like 9 p.m., it was culture shock for me. It was like really, in one sense, it was cool to like be by the ocean and like be in this beautiful place. And in the other sense, it was like really, really, really denying large parts of who I was being there. And so as that relationship came to an end and I was growing intensely dissatisfied with doing work in fitness, which, by the way, I don't knock fitness at all. It just really wasn't for me anymore. I was in a place where I was like, none of this stuff is working. None of this is okay with me. And I actually, I was in Malibu for an afternoon and I was walking on the beach and I kind of had this moment of like divine surrender of being like, all right, God, universe, you know, whatever. At the time, I wasn't super clear on how I was relating to my spirituality, but I knew I believed in something and I knew I just could no longer try to control everything myself, the outcomes. I was like, all right, just show me the way. And what I chose in that moment to be my symbol was like a beach house, like a home on the beach. I'm like, this is all I know about what I want is I want this. And if I could just stay focused on that, the how must fill itself in. Because I don't know how right now. But if I could just hold my vision and hold in my heart like that this will be the emblem or the symbol that I got there, I could do that. And I'm just going to surrender that the steps will unfold. And it was like, boom, they just started. Like within days, things started dropping in that just like helped me to start really lay the path.
That's awesome. So, you know, it's funny. I was talking to my sister the other day and literally she's kind of on the beginning of realizing there's something more, like there's something bigger that's going to be helping you. And for all you guys listening who are like, what the heck are you talking about?
Yeah,
you will get there. It will be a point just like you said. I'm Elizabeth. There we go. that you literally like, it's just a moment where what you're doing is not working. Kind of like what you said. It's just this moment of, wow, I can't carry this anymore. Please, I'm surrendering this. Help me. And everything opens up. Was it literally like days? Is that what you said?
Yeah, it was literally days. Because actually at that time, I was ambivalent still about that relationship. And I officially ended it a couple of days later.
Oh my gosh.
And that in itself, right? Like breakups are the worst and the best at the same time. They're the worst because there's like so much sadness, grief, hurt feelings. But there's also this vacuum, right? The minute you're no longer with someone or in something, it doesn't have to be a relationship, romantic. It could be a friendship. It could be something going on with your family. It could be a job. Any situation where you were like deeply committed to this thing and had so much energy and effort going towards it, when that thing doesn't exist anymore, you become a vacuum back for all your own energy. It's like, oh, I didn't even realize how much I was investing and expending and putting towards not me, wow. Right? Not my highest good or my best or my, you know, highest, most amazing expression of my creativity or like service to the world or whatever it is.
Wow. You bring me back to this moment. I went to a weekend that was, you know, just all dedicated to really diving in and spirituality and really defining your relationship with source, God, whatever you believe. And I came home, and I think the contrast, because when you put yourself in that space where you're just kind of like surrendering and you're all in, the contrast of what's not right in your life becomes so large that it's almost like it becomes easier to kick it out or easier to get rid of it.
Totally. Yeah.
I came home and did some major cleanup of some people in my life who are, you know, great people, just not great for where I was in the moment.
Totally.
And it literally like flipped my world upside down, and like these things that I had been desiring kind of came rushing in within a week. And I was like, oh my God, like, just like you said, like,
yeah,
I can't believe how much energy was going towards like feeling like I'm off. This is not in alignment and I know it. And I'm, you know, not doing anything about it. So if we're in that space, is there something that you suggest doing if we like know we're so out of alignment, but how can we get to a place where we feel good?
Yeah. All right. So here's my recommendation for that. And you know, everyone's personality is kind of different. So for some people, this might resonate. Some people might be like, oh, hell no. But if there's even like a tiny ounce of you that goes, all right, maybe I could try that. Maybe it'll work for me. I highly suggest it. You just got to get quiet and you got to be with yourself. Mm-hmm. Just put yourself in, just create some kind of container for yourself. Even if it's maybe it's a couple minutes every day. Like some people, the reason why they do some of the things they do is because they're actually afraid to be alone with their own thoughts. Mm-hmm. They're actually afraid to go below the surface because they're afraid of what they might find. And if that's you, do a couple minutes a day over time, and then gradually add a little bit more and more time, because it's scary. I had a call with a client today, and we were talking about this, how, you know, in our culture, also in the world of like self-help, personal development, spirituality, whatever, a lot of people are really attached to breakthroughs. Mm-hmm. And sometimes breakthroughs are traumatizing. It's not actually always the best choice. Sometimes you just need to be making these small incremental changes and adjustments over time so that you can very gently and very lovingly, with a lot of self-compassion, and an honoring of where you are, like ease yourself into an experience or into a transition or a change or another phase, rather than like busting through and then getting there and feeling so raw and so vulnerable. And maybe it's like overexposed, or maybe like a baby deer trying to figure out how to walk on this new terrain. And then that's really, really hard on yourself. Like sometimes the way people go about transformation is like self-violent, because it's just like too much too soon without the foundation. So it's okay to slow down. So get quiet with yourself, maybe for a few minutes every day, slowly building on it. Or if you can, like, you know, sit 20, 30, 40 minutes, give yourself a day to just be with yourself. I highly suggest getting out in nature to do it, because nature is just like one of the most supportive, loving forces in the world, right? Like, I always say, like, let your mama, meaning mama nature, have your back. Like, literally, I mean, I'm a New Yorker. My family sometimes, my little brother's a comedian, actually. So sometimes he'll take a screenshot of something I've written on Facebook or that someone has commented and been like, what the F is this weirdo talking about? And I'm like, makes sense to me. So, like, you know, if you're having that reaction, it's totally cool. Like, I'm not for, like, my philosophies and practices aren't going to be for everyone. But if it resonates even just a little bit, like, just imagine giving yourself something tangible that can support you other than just you. Sometimes it's nature. Sometimes it's like laying in the sand or the grass, or like being in the ocean, or like leaning your back into a tree and being like, oh, all right, I'm supported here and I could do this. But whatever it is, to just like get quiet and just breathe. Just connect with your senses and just like just remember that like there really is the life force running through you. And for so many people, they get lost in the search for like, what's my purpose? Well, like, what if everyone's purpose was to literally just be the best version of themselves? So even if you don't know like what your sacred work in the world is, or like what you're here to do, or like what's the bigger thing that you're meant for, the bigger thing we're all meant for is to like literally be the best version of ourselves. So to just get quiet on not necessarily being able to connect with the big picture, because sometimes it's like a bit far out and we can't touch it or see it yet. But what's just like the next step? What's like the next best step I could take to support me on that path, right? Instead of having to take like the big giant leap, or like leap and the net will appear. Well, sometimes the net doesn't appear and you splat, and then it's like, oh God, you know, and it's like I took this giant leap forward and then 8 steps backwards. Like it doesn't have to be that way. We could take like 20 small steps and like get there. Totally. And it just feels better.
And I think in the grand scheme, I know I'm sure it's the exact same for you when you look at kind of your just, I don't know, for lack of a better word, like success pattern. It's just, I thank all of those little moments where maybe you feel like you're not moving, but you are, because you're maybe consistent totally. With something, or you're really learning to tap in, or, you know, a lot of times where we feel stuck at a certain point because maybe we haven't quite figured it out yet, or we haven't picked up on that lesson. And then, yeah, like when I look at some of the big breakthroughs, they are few and far between, man. And it is like, it's like those usually came from something that was brewing and brewing and brewing, and it was ready to go anyway. But the big picture has just been little tiny things that, you know, when your head hits the pillow at night, you wouldn't necessarily feel like you had moved forward or done anything different. But in the grand scheme, it's just inch by inch. And that's really beautiful. Nature's actually been a really big theme for all of the people that I've been talking to who are really creating just a life that they love. Is the main thing mm-hmm. they're doing is just getting in nature, getting quiet. That's so beautiful. It's I mean, if you're going to do one thing to make change, I think everything that you said is so, so perfect. Okay, so I love that you talk about masculine and feminine energy, because I need to hear all about it. So because for me, I can get really stuck in the masculine and I adore the feminine, but for me, it's finding that balance. So tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so this is the biggest thing, breakthrough, to use that term, actually. This was a breakthrough for me. One of those big moments was... this was about 2.5 years ago. Mm-hmm. I never really understood the difference between masculine and feminine from an energetic perspective. I just thought, you know, male, female. Mm-hmm. And I knew I identified always more with like masculine. Like I grew up a tomboy, I played sports. And I never really identified as, you know, prissy or feminine or girly, which was the only expressions of feminine that I knew, which makes sense because like culturally, our culture tends to really only shine the light and honor maiden and mother in terms of archetypes, right? Mm. So damsel in distress or, you know, the matriarch of the clan in a lot of ways. And so I didn't realize my unique expression of feminine. So I'm reading this book called Awakening Shakti by Sally Kempton. And it's basically just explaining archetypes by using, you know, 9 Hindu goddesses of yoga. And so I get to the chapter about Durga. And so if anyone doesn't know who Durga is, she's the image, you might have seen her, who she sits on like a lion or a tiger. She has 8 arms and she is freaking like warrior goddess. Don't mess with me. I will F up any challenger, you know, who's trying to, you know, dominate the world or oppress anyone. And I was like, oh my God, I've been feminine all my life. It's just been like warrior goddess feminine, not like dainty. Mm. And so to even just realize this idea of like archetypes, that there's so many different energetic expressions of feminine and also masculine, right? And each one has light and dark to it. And so to understand so many nuances was a huge aha, like a big moment for me, because all of a sudden I got to accept and like reflect back on, in fact, how very feminine I always have been, and just understanding that it was my unique expression. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. So do you find yourself still going more into one, or what inspires you? What helps you know, thinking of these different energies, what helps you get more aligned, feel more aligned?
Yeah. So here's what's cool. Earlier going into this year, I was thinking like, all right, I'm phasing out of Durga energy. Like I've got enough warrior. I'm fierce enough. What do I want to embrace?
Right.
And I went back to my tried and true Awakening Shakti. And Sally Kempton, the author, has these great meditations. And so I was listening and I really decided to connect with the Lakshmi energy, which Lakshmi is more of the, like the sweetness, the beauty, the abundance of life. And so one of the things I did in my house was I set up an altar and I brought a lot more flowers. So to like bring in the nature element, and again, Mother Earth, that's very feminine, very fertile, right? Not just fertile in the sense of, you know, making human babies, but fertile in life and creation overall, which is a very feminine aspect. in terms of energetics. And so I started like, it was right around spring when I was doing this. And so we have these rose bushes outside. So I would cut fresh flowers and bring them into my home and really connect with these things sensually. Mm. Sometimes when I say sensual, because it's like a big core of what I do, sensuality, people automatically couple it with sexuality. And that's not always the case, right? So I would bring in these fresh flowers and I would enjoy the colors and the smells and the feels and the textures. And as the flowers would shed, like the petals would fall, I just left them on the altar. So even like I could see it from my desk right now, I just have this pile of rose petals on my altar in my living room. And it's like luscious and just so... like it does feel super abundant and just connecting with like the colors and like different jewelry and playing with how I adorn myself. Like all of these things, I keep using all these words in hopes that as people are listening or even as you're listening, something hits you and you go, oh yeah, like that feels good to me, right? Like that resonates somewhere in my body. I get turned on again, not necessarily sexually, but like it excites me or it like sparks something in me that goes, ooh, I'm compelled. Mm. I want to investigate more of that, or let me pull that thread and see how that might make me feel, you know?
Mm-hmm. Everything that you're saying just gets you so present. Even the words that you're using, yes, just gets you really present and into your body. Like, yes, literally just, and I'm sure this is something having, it's just making me think about, I am really loving wearing like really bright lipstick. I don't know why or where it came from, but I've been wanting to just harness like being a woman, because I think it, for me, it's really easy to not do my hair or my makeup. Yep. Like there can be weeks that go by if I'm behind this microphone and whatever. Yeah. It's like, you don't have to get ready, and not that getting ready has anything to do with it, but sometimes just doing that, like you said, adorning and enjoying the process. It's not just putting it on. It's like, wow, this is what it feels like to be a woman, or just things that I enjoy, or maybe it's a flowy dress that feels good on your skin, and just the, you know, the breeze in your hair, and just what that feels like to whatever that looks like. So that's really, really beautiful, because, you know, I think I'm always playing in this because I love getting things done. I love business. I love being in business with my husband, but I have to do that, like this switch. So this is what I'm working on right now. So how about some live coaching here?
Let's do it.
So for me, it's just getting into the state like of being, you know, my husband's wife or someone who just brings a different element rather than just being his business partner who he knows he can rely on. And we love to push and we love goals and we love achievement. And then sometimes it's like, wow, when we go to like a romance phase, I'm kind of like, meh, I'm in business mode. Like we're business partners. So is there anything that I can do to kind of switch that or get into like a different place?
Yeah. You need to transition out of it, like very consciously and intentionally go, okay, business hours are over. And now, you know, here comes Lori, the wife. Mm-hmm. Here comes Lori, the woman. And I always recommend for people trial and error, right? Mm-hmm. So getting into, again, how do I access what kind of sensuality? And I love that you said present, because that's actually how I teach people to get present. Mm-hmm. You know how people talk about like be in the moment? The best way to be in the moment is to engage your senses.
Mm. Awesome.
So like, what is it that you need to do? How can you soften and relax and come into that receptive, magnetic, feminine place? And these are things you guys could even talk about, right? And you could be like, okay, what, when you do this, I feel like I can soften and relax. Or Lori, when you do this, I just feel like so inspired by like, by your beauty and like your softness. And maybe it's music, maybe it's candles, maybe it's incense, like creating this like sensual, like sanctuary environment. Maybe it's that like you need to take a bath. I mean, it could be so simple, right? Or maybe you just need to do some gentle. So my movement practice that I created is called Wild Soul Movement. Often for me, I just need to get on the floor and like roll around, roll my hips, do some stretching, like put on some music that like really gets me present and like in my body. And one of the biggest things is to like literally be in your body, even if it's just hip circles. Mm-hmm. Like you want a shortcut to feeling feminine? Do some friggin' hip circles. Mm. It sounds so simple, but for real, it just works. And totally. and just like be flowing in your body, put on a song, dance, like again, anything that could just bring you into your body and into that like deep feminine core. And even if you're someone listening going like, I have no idea what that even means. Like, the thing is this, your intellect, your mind is telling you, I don't know what that means, but your body knows what it feels like. Right? Like, your body is a genius. And so all you need to do is like a little bit of experimentation and your body will recognize it so quickly and so easily. And then you just have like a short list, right? Of like, okay, Epsom salt bath always works for me. Oh, lighting rose incense, boom, that does it for me. Ooh, this song right now, that's the ticket for me. This dress, or, you know, maybe I just need to put on some mascara. And like, you know what your little shortcuts to dropping into your feminine are like. And maybe it takes 5 minutes, maybe it takes 30 minutes, but you need that transition out of like, get it done, hustle, make it happen mode, back into like, okay, I'm soft, feminine, receptive, and gorgeous again.
Mm, that's beautiful. I love that. I love that. And everything that you're saying, because so lately a theme for me just literally this last week has been when we switch the questions that we ask ourselves, we get, you know, we get the answers that we're actually looking
yes.
for. Because a lot of the questions are like this? Why am I not feminine? Or why can I not switch this off? And that's not going to get us any answers. It's like, well, how could I feel this way?
Yes.
Or what makes me feel this way? And it's, I was at an event last night. It was like just a bunch of people who wanted to come together and have just great, rich conversations. It was a lot of artists, a lot of musicians, and they were having us describe. They were like, okay, let's see if you can guess just by these descriptions. Like, everybody got to pick an artist that they love and describe something about them. Like, what makes this person so like raw, and how can, you know, why are we so attracted to them? So that was really, really cool to break that down. And mine was, I just chose Gwen Stefani because I love her, because right now I'm on this red lipstick thing, I guess. She's kind of just been a theme for me like my whole life. You know, I've liked her since I was 14. And just
a girl. I remember.
Totally.
It was like, oh, badass chick. Yes.
Yes. I think I love
so
that. Like, power, right?
Oh, how
girly
funny is
power.
That? You just gave me a moment of realizing. Actually, a moment of recognition to myself that like badass feminine was always there, because the same. Like,
yes.
I remember feeling so empowered by her.
Oh my gosh, yes. And it was crazy, some of the stuff I wrote down, because we never actually allow ourselves to dig in. Why do I like this? What do I like about this? How does she make me feel? And so we had to describe them. And I wrote down, like, I mean, this is kind of crazy, but it's just literally what came up in the 30 seconds you get to write. It was like the first movement in your hips in the summertime, like where you're just, you know, reggae music, like your body just starts to flow, but you feel powerful and like your shoulders are back and you're in the sunshine. And then it was like the first, like those first feelings of, and if you don't drink, that's cool too, but those first feelings of when wine hits your brain, just like where you loose, everything loosens up, but you feel powerful and happy and fun. And like, I don't know. I was like, that's so interesting. The things that can come up if we allow ourselves to like get into the juicy stuff, right? The good stuff, and say, why do I love this? Why do I love her? Why do I love the way this looks? Why do I, in appreciating women, why do I love how she makes me feel, or whatever that is, and really picking it apart and seeing how you can, it really made me say, how can I adopt some of that into my life?
I love that. I love it so much. And you know what else is actually a great indicator? The things that you actually get jealous of, or the things that you envy in other women, because like jealousy and envy are just pointers to the things in you that are like ready for you to express them.
Oh,
it's just going, hey, I'm super tired of seeing everyone else be this thing or this way or have this, and I'm ready. Me next, you know? That's what I always feel like. If I ever feel like a pang of envy or jealousy, I'm like, ooh, me next.
Oh,
right?
My God, I love that so much.
I don't
much.
Need to be down on myself, or I don't need to feel sorry for myself that I don't have the thing. I go, oh, all right. Looks like I'm ready to express it, or that would not be setting me off right now.
Wow. I love that. Those words, ooh, okay, me next. That is so perfect. Like, I want that shirt and I'll just wear it every day. Okay.
Me next.
So we were chatting about the art of womanhood. If you could expand on that, because I'm just taking notes over here.
Yeah. So again, it kind of just builds on everything we've already been talking about. There's this innate magnetism to being a woman. Like, we have the ability to inspire, and we forget. Like, that's one of those things that really gets covered up by all of our trying and doing and hustling and accomplishing and achieving and like having to do everything. And we forget how much support is available to us, and how, especially from men. Like, men are built, like, this is like a primal, like, biological thing. To provide and protect for women. And whether it's that you have sons or whether you are in a relationship with a man or whether like you work in an office or just have male coworkers, like let them help you. So many of us do this thing where we're like, I'll do it myself. Mm-hmm. And we actually pride ourselves on being able to do it ourselves. And it's just really interesting. And some people might really not like what I'm about to say. It's inspired by the work of Alison Armstrong, if you've ever heard of her. But she says, you know, modern birth control, contraception, the feminist movement, like equal pay, and like all these women's movements have been so amazing in so many ways. And in a lot of ways, it hasn't done us any favors in the sense of creating that I'll do it myself culture. Mm. Because what happens is we end up emasculating and objectifying others, all in an attempt to hold on to how powerful and independent we are. But we're dying. Mm. We're so stressed, so tired. So many of these health issues, adrenal fatigue, digestive, all these digestive issues, like all that stuff is happening in the centers of our body that relate around like money, power, creativity. And it's because we're shutting off our ability to actually receive, and the giving and receiving is so out of harmony in our lives because we're going, I could do it myself. And what happens is we have needs. And we're trying to meet all our own needs ourselves, and it's impossible. And then when our needs aren't completely met, we go into like this demand and deserving place, and we decide, all right, who owes me? Mm. What? You know? Mm. And it's just really not – it's not graceful. It's not easy. And it's not like this like ripe, loving place where we can be like giving and receiving and like asking for help and getting it and feeling supported instead of feeling like so drained, exhausted, resentful, and like we have to do everything.
Wow. You just opened up this whole place that I think is just something I'm really seeing going on. And that was so beautiful. And it reminded me. So a couple weekends ago, I was at an event just for mostly teenage girls. So it was like ages 12 to 18. And one of the biggest themes there, because it was girls maybe from, you know, all walks of life, or girls who maybe have somewhat of a troubled background. Like that was probably 50% of the crowd in there. And then the other 50% kind of came with their, you know, their moms or sisters or things like that. So the room was very, very mixed. But a lot of the theme throughout the room when we were doing breakouts, because I got to be in the breakouts with them, you know, it was kind of like mentor and then teen and mentor and teen. So a lot of the theme was, you know, we were saying different things that have really helped us or things that we do. And one of the women had said that she, you know, asked for help a lot now. And, you know, one of the mentors had said this to the teen girls in the group, and the teen girl said, so what, you like depend on people? Because I don't depend on anyone. You can't depend on anyone. And this was a theme throughout the entire room of these girls. Yeah. And the number one thing that they were dealing with was they were stressed out. And it's because they don't feel like they're not allowing themselves to depend on other people. And I think it's coming from, you know, they want to be, they have all these icons, right? Like saying who they love and these independent women and what they are, but we're not actually showing what an independent woman is. And that's also having the strength to rely on other people, because I totally know I came from that place. And now the last 2 years, a huge theme for me has been connecting with women, allowing a real relationship is depending on someone and having them depend on you. And that's a really, really, it's become so beautiful. But just saying that, like, it truly is an art, and it's learned, and it's, you know, it's just, what are we focusing on? So do you have different things around that? Like maybe connecting with other women, or how can we start allowing and connecting?
Well, first of all, understand there's a difference between being fully resourced. So think of it that way. The thing we're afraid of is being helpless or needy. Nobody wants to be those things.
Yeah.
And we think needing anything makes us helpless or needy. And it's not true. Being fully resourced is like the best you could be. And even like, you know, there's so much, this is, again, I keep referring to the culture, not so we could be victims of the culture, but just so we could spot it and see where it is and go, oh, I get it. That's where that messaging comes from. there's more to it than that. So we see these independent women, you know, like Beyonce, for example. Yeah, super independent. But if you think Beyonce doesn't have like a freaking squad of people helping her with everything, you are an insane maniac. Like, she absolutely does. But we don't see the team behind Beyonce. We see freaking Beyonce, mm-hmm. right? We see the finished product. We don't see the process. We don't see the progress or the steps along the way, right? Like, I remember seeing a meme on social media once that says Beyonce wasn't built in a day, and I was like, dying, you know? It's like, that's what it is. It sounds like she like popped out, and like that's how that happens, and that's how that works. So first of all, just like really understanding the difference. Being helpless is actually when you have like no faith or trust or confidence in yourself that you could do anything. That's really, really far off from being fully resourced and just noticing, okay, where is it healthy? Where is it energizing? Where is it useful for me to do things myself? And where would I be better off to ask for some help or ask for some support? Mm-hmm. And sometimes you can categorize it by the things, what are the things that I hate doing? What are things that I'm not actually even that good at and I'm struggling through them? You know, so I'll give you an example. And this might sound like a super privileged example because it is. And I'm, you know, I live in the freaking first world. And so one of my first world problems was that, you know, I run a business. I have all these other things going on. And I was wasting a lot of like mental space and actual time doing things like grocery shopping, cooking, doing laundry, cleaning the house. I mean, if I look at how I value my time and the things that people pay me for and like my power and my strength and my expertise, scrubbing my toilet is not one of those things. It's super not worth it for me to do that. It's totally worth it for me to hire someone. And so we had hired a house mom. She was doing the grocery shopping, running our errands, cleaning the house, and cooking for us twice a week. Because to just take those things off my agenda, all of a sudden I now had all this energy available to me. It was relatively inexpensive. It wasn't, we just put an ad on Craigslist, made up how much we wanted to pay her, which was $200 a week. And all these things all of a sudden were getting done. And it was immeasurable, the effect of like having that support. And also like when it was happening, like to hear the laundry going and I wasn't the one doing it made me feel like super rich, right? Yes. I'm in the energy and the frequency of feeling like super rich, like I'm going to do better work that day. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so like maybe not everyone listening can afford a house mom, but like can you just start with a cleaning lady, right? Or maybe you run a business and there's like you're answering your own emails all the time or like you're trying to do your own tech stuff. Like hire that out, you know, like get some support. Or maybe there's actually support available to you that's even less expensive. Maybe there's like a neighborhood high school kid that's like mowing lawns. Like maybe they can come do some stuff in your house or whatever. You know, like these low leverage activities that aren't helping you like express the truth of who you are. And if anything are like stressing you out or draining you, get that stuff off your plate to the best of your ability. Or maybe you're a mom and you have kids. Like one of the greatest things my mom ever did was she started paying me and my little brother when we were very young to just do stuff in the house. Mm-hmm. And it taught me that like I get to earn my money. Right? That things aren't just handed to me. I get to earn it. And if I wanted something, I could figure out a way to earn it. So if I wanted something, I'd be like, hey, mom, can I wash your car? She'd be like, sure, I'll give you $10. Great. Mm-hmm. And that also taught me to be like innovative and creative and resourceful. So again, it comes back to being fully resourced and asking for help in the places and spaces where it's super not serving you to be doing those things.
Oh, I love that. I can't even, I was so that girl. I think especially coming from the Midwest, we really do. I'm going to be honest, like we pride ourselves on how much can we do? How much can we take on? I'm this down home girl. I can do this, this, and this. And I have these perfect vacuum lines in my living room. Yes. I literally remember thinking that. Now I look back and I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, of course I couldn't move forward on my business goals. Of course I felt stuck. Of course I felt disconnected from everyone because it's like the more I took on, the more, you know, fake blue ribbon I got from who, no one.
It's like, what are you trying to prove and who are you trying to prove it to? Who cares?
Exactly. And nobody, looking back, nobody cared. Nobody cared. I was more worried about what would people think if I had someone helping me? Like, how would they think of me? And now I think, oh my goodness, woman, you need help so that you can thrive in your zone of genius and help more people. So now I wouldn't even be able to reach any of the people that I'm, you know, have the blessing to work with now. And looking back, it's such a different mindset that in the beginning, it may not feel great. Sometimes you have to clear that space and understand that it's going to, you know, it's going to get better. And now, because in the beginning I was like, oh my God, nobody can know that I have a cleaner because this is terrible. Yeah. What am I doing? Then all of a sudden my business started thriving, I'm like, okay, everyone can know I have a cleaner because look what it did for me.
So I know.
It's going
it's
to
just
free
so
you up.
Interesting.
So interesting hearing you say that.
It's really about valuing yourself. And I'll tell you, for real, one of my biggest, the biggest things that I'm constantly working through and breaking through the ceiling of is I deserve this, is how good can I take it? How much love can I receive? How much abundance can I receive in all the various forms? You know, praise, recognition, love coming from people. Like, how many thank you messages can I get? And I cry. I was just going to be super honest with you. I cry all the time. I cry all the time because I feel like my heart sometimes is so full. If I don't cry and like hit the release valve to empty it out, like it's just going to explode because there's just like not room for anymore. And I'd way rather have that problem than be crying because I'm so overwhelmed and I'm so desperate for something that I don't have and I can't see how I could possibly get it. Like, I'd rather have the opposite issue.
I could talk to you all day, but that's a really good thing to start winding down on is receiving. So, you know, I think it's challenging for many of us. And it's also the most beautiful thing that when you allow it into your life, what can happen. So I can't tell you, I think 9 out of 10 women that I compliment can't, like, they don't even know what to do. They deflect it, right? They give it back. I want to give it back. It's always, okay, that's great, but let me tell you what's greater about you. Why do we need to receive? What's a great way to learn to start receiving? And what will that do for us?
Ready? It's super revolutionary. Just say thank you. I'm so serious. Just take a deep breath and say thank you. When everything inside of you is screaming, no, I can't accept this, or wanting to say something back, literally, just breathe. Hear all those voices and all those things. Don't express them. And just say thank you so much. And I'm going to tell you why. Everyone can probably think of a time where you wanted to do something from someone, like from your heart. You just really wanted to. You wanted to be kind, or you had a compliment, or you wanted to give someone a gift, or you wanted to pay for someone's meal or whatever. And they said no, and they rejected it. Think about how you felt. What they did in rejecting, in not being receptive, was they robbed you of the gift or the kindness that you wanted to share or spread, right? Didn't feel good. So why would you do that to other people? If someone's offering, and here's the thing, you got to give people the benefit of the doubt that they mean it, that they're being authentic and genuine. And if they're not, that's their problem when you receive, you know? Yep. And that's just like, it's an amazing thing. And gradually you practice and you get better at it, you know? And you just breathe and you just say thank you. Or if you do, if you're like me, sometimes you over-exaggerate it. I had to literally do this for a while. I had to like literally shout things like, thank you, I receive. I can do this, you know? Like, and I'm a weirdo. Like, that works for me. It might not be your thing. But like, thank you so much. Like, literally, like, put your hand over your heart so it doesn't explode and just go, thank you. Thank you. That feels amazing. Thank you so much. Yes. I'm totally going to let you do that for me. Thank you. And know that you are giving what you're giving is you're giving the gift of receiving the thing that the person wanted to do for you. And again, especially if you're a woman, and especially if this is from a man, especially, like, that is what he's built for. That is what he's made for. And let them help you, you know, even like at the grocery store. I was traveling recently. I just got back from Guatemala. Like, I was so tired yesterday. By the time I got on the plane, I was trying to like throw my bag up into the compartment, and this man stood up. Can I help you with that? And I was like, oh God, yes. Thank you so much. Yes. Instead of what I used to do, which was like, I got it. No, I don't got it. You can get it. Thank you. God, thank you so much. You know?
Yes. I'm literally thinking of, you're bringing up all these moments for me of just noticing where maybe I've grown, or maybe I'm still like, okay, I could definitely do that. So that's funny.
And perfection isn't the goal. Yeah. It's progress. Just do it more often than you don't.
Totally. And I'm just like you, where I need to verbalize things like while I'm within the lesson. Like, I probably sound like I'm like on Star Trek or something. I receive I receive that. Like, okay, weirdo. Like, if you don't understand like where you're coming from, but that's really helped me say, yes, I'm receiving that. Like, verbalize it and say, okay, I'm letting that settle in right now, because I'm not, you know, I'm not quite there to be, well, now I am, but before it was like having to say I received that because I wasn't quite there to be like, thank you, and just be quiet after that. So
be like, you know what? I'm so uncomfortable letting you do that for me right now, but I'm going to let you, and thank you so much. Yeah. I say stuff like that sometimes.
Beautiful. Like, just saying being honest, like being totally honest in how you feel. It's a freeing thing. So I know that you have an amazing podcast. So tell me all about it. We kind of bonded over our podcast.
It's called Untame the Wild Soul. And people, if they want to just find it, they could search my name. If you just type in D'Alto, D-I-A-L-T-O in iTunes. I'm the only D'Alto, so it'll come up. Untame the Wild Soul. There's audio and there's video. And it's basically just about reclaiming and redefining womanhood in the 21st century. So like this conversation we just had, mm-hmm. I have this with people all the time. And I love, like we were talking about the archetypes earlier, I interview all kinds of men and women so people can see all the different flavors and expressions and go, oh, I'm like that. Oh, that resonates for me. Oh, I want more of that. Oh, I'm jealous of that person. Me next. Great. You know, like all these things we talked about. This is kind of like how I roll on my show. Like this is what we want. We want people coming into more harmonized experience of their energies and in their life and stuff like that.
Oh, subscribing. Okay. seriously, this is kind of where I'm at right now. So I'm really, feeling this conversation. So I'm really excited about that. Okay. And where can we find, follow all that good stuff outside of there?
Untameyourself.com is my hub. It's my website. And then everywhere on social media, although I go by Elizabeth these days, everything is Liz D'Alto because it just has been for years. Mm-hmm. So Lizdialto, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, all the things, Liz D'Alto.
Okay. Couple amazing, you guys. Make sure you go follow because she's always got something like even just, oh my gosh, just even when I met you, like your hair and you're free and you're really inspiring to like, I just want to like free myself. I'm like, these clothes are too restricting. Like I need a flowy dress and wild hair and I can't take it. Okay.
Screw this bra. Yeah.
That's exactly how I feel. Okay, so a few rapid fire questions here. Favorite, which I literally, you just inspired me to come up with. So, because I want to know. Favorite feminine sensual meal?
Oh, girl, chocolate covered strawberries.
Oh, dang.
It's not a meal, but whatever.
Well, it can be. Who says it can't be? It's going to be a meal for me. Okay, favorite books?
Oh, okay. Oh, that Awakening Shakti by Sally Kempton. I'm actually just reading this series right now. I just read this book called I Am the Word. And then the next book after that is called The Book of Love and Creation. It's amazing. It's super woo-woo. I'll just put that out there. I love historical fiction, anything to do with like Jesus and Mary Magdalene. So there's another series of books I read last year that I loved, which was The Magdalene Trilogy by Kathleen McGowan. So it's called The Expected One and then The Book of Love and then The Poet Prince. I'll say those for now. But I'm a nerd. I'm reading all the time. So that's a tough one for me to answer.
No, I love that. That's why I asked you because I'm a total book nerd and I'm like, I'm really feeling this vibe right now. So I'm going to explore your library. So that's
and my
happening.
Book. I wrote a book called Untame Yourself. I'm obviously super partial to my own book.
And where can we – is that on your website?
Yeah. And untameyourself.com/Amazon.
Okay.
It's probably by the time this interview comes up, the print copy will be on Amazon too at the end of May because it's been on Kindle for a bit, but and now it's in print as well.
Congratulations, Mama. That is a huge undertaking. Good job.
Oh my God. So super fun.
Yeah. Amazing. Okay. And let's see. Last but not least, you have a quick elevator ride with someone and they look over at you and say, oh my gosh, Elizabeth, how can I make myself happy?
How can I make myself happy?
30 seconds.
Oh my God. You know what I would actually do? I'm just going to describe it to you. I know myself. I would close my eyes. I would take a deep breath. I'd put my hands on my chest. I'd probably like roll around my shoulders on my chest a little bit. And I'm just going to reveal my weirdness a bit more in the moment. I'm super intuitive. So I can't answer it for you because I would have to like be in front of that person, feel that person. I would know what to say.
Oh, I love that answer.
That's my answer.
I love it. So you're really tapping in and tuning to yourself to really be present and be in the moment with that person because
totally.
It like, can be different for everyone.
And on the person. But for you, Lori Harder, if I was in the elevator with you, like, what can I do to make myself happy? I would literally say, do some hip circles and take some Luxy, really sensual baths with candles at least 3 times a week.
Oh, I love that.
I just have a feeling that would be the jam for you right now. I don't know why.
It totally, no, really, that just totally spoke to me and it makes me want to actually write or listen to amazing music. So perfect. Yeah. All right, Mama, thank you so much for being on today. I loved it. And you guys, if you loved this episode as much as I did, make sure you share it. And until next time, do something to go and earn your happy. Bye, guys. Thank you guys so much for spending this time with me on the Earn Your Happy podcast. I am so glad that you stopped by. If you could take 1 second to share this episode with someone you think would love it, that would be absolutely amazing, and we would be forever grateful. Also, please leave us a review if you feel so moved by going to iTunes and leaving us an honest thought, an honest comment. Tell us what you think. Tell us what you want to hear more of. It would really help us out on our journey to helping thousands and thousands of people. Until then, don't forget to earn your happy. Thanks again, guys. Bye-bye.